Morning, church. It's good to see everyone. It's a wonderful effort to be here today. We're glad you're here. If you're visiting, we want to welcome you. For those of you on Facebook and on the FM radio, we want you to feel at home with us. We're glad you're listening and watching. You need to remember somewhere throughout your weekend about the this is a Veterans Day, remembering those that have died, paid the ultimate price for our freedom. We really need to appreciate what we've got. A couple of announcements. Don't forget about Vacation Bible Schools coming up. Also, in your bulletin, there was a sheet there pertaining to Samaritan's Purse shoeboxes. We're going to take up shoeboxes in reference to Father's Day. So if you've got a father you'd like to put a box together in memory of or in honor of, feel free to do so. If you those boxes will be collected on Father's Day here at the church. If you want to pay for the shipping by check, make your check out to the church. And then that'll be taken care of in November. We'll do one lump sum check for the shipping. And also, if you fellow deacons, remember we have a short deacons meeting directly after the service here in the fellowship hall. Brother Otis wants to meet with us a few minutes. So don't forget that. And again, we're pleased to have Brother Dustin with us today. Looking forward to God's word, what he's given us. So if we could, let's go with the Lord in prayer, and we'll try to get into the service. Almighty gracious Heavenly Father, all-knowing Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for this day you blessed us with. Thank you for this time to come to worship you. Father, may we never take that for granted. That is a privilege you give us just to be in your house. Father, we pray now for the prayer requests that have been made. We pray for those that are mourning the loss of loved ones. We ask for your comfort and your peace for those. Father, we pray and we thank you for Jesus and what he's done on the cross because of the death, the resurrection. We have hope for our loved ones that have died. We have hope for our future. And we just thank you, God, for making everything possible. We pray now that you'd be with everyone in this service. We pray, Lord, that we'll be focused on you, to the hearing of your word. We ask you to be at the choir. Bless them as they sing praises to you. May your way and your will be done in this house today, we pray, Father. And at the conclusion, may we say it's been good to be in your house today. In Jesus' holy and precious name I ask. Amen.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
We'll sing a couple songs to the Lord. Let's all stand and sing number 4, To God Be the Glory.
Thank you.
go to number 333, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Thank you. To welcome Brother Dustin to come give us our message for today that God has laid upon his heart. Brother Dustin.
Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I thank God for that song. And the Lord has many blessings. He's got so many blessings bestowed upon me, I can't begin to count them all. Nor remember, you know, the simple blessing of waking up this morning and taking another breath, you know, is a blessing in itself and a miracle, and I thank God for that. And I'm glad to be with you all today. I appreciate you all, the invitation your pastor had given me to come preach. A little bit bigger church than what I normally preach in, but that's okay. You know, I thank God for the brothers and sisters in Christ in which I have. I was telling my wife this morning I'd received a text from a guy that I'd met in training this week. I got to go to some training over in Bristol. It was a chaplain training through Billy Graham Ministries. And I'd got to meet some really good men of God in law enforcement. And not very often do you meet a lot of people that confess that, you know, and the job, unfortunately. But there was a group of men over there, and you could just tell that, you know, I told my wife, I said, you could just tell when someone's genuine in their faith. You can tell by the way they speak, you know, whether they are humble about their testimony and the way that they talk. And there was a guy that texted me this morning and told me he's praying for me, and I told him I was praying for him as well. And I just thank God for that. Even though you may not know me, we're still, if we have been born again and we've been bought by the blood, amen, we are still brothers and sisters in Christ. And I thank God for that. And I thank God that in 2011, God came by my way, pulled me out of that pit, that miry clay, and I then set my feet upon a rock. Amen. He established my goings. He put a new song in my heart. I thank God for that. I thank God that when Amazing Grace is sang in church now, I know exactly, amen, who that wretched man was, and it was me. I thank God that I know that this morning. A little bit of a different message that I was hoping to preach. The word pride had kind of lingered with me a little bit in the middle of the week, but I will not be preaching on pride this morning. So that's a good thing. we could all use that, though, in our life, but that's not the message in which I felt led to preach. This is a message that is really kind of centered toward the church. And what a blessing the church is. You know, it talked about the blessings that God has given to America. And I thought about as y'all sang that song about the simple blessing of what church has been to me. And each and every corner we live in, they were talking also in that class about a lot of the guys that were in that class were from these big city police departments. And, you know, they're not as welcoming to Christian people in the city as they are like they would be here because we live in the Bible Belt. And hey, I remember once upon a time being young and dumb and rebellious and thinking, you know what, one of these days I want to grow up and I want to move out of here. Me and one of my friends actually had a plan. He said, well, I'm moving to Florida when I graduate high school. I said, you know what, I think I'm going to come with you. I'm just tired of this area. There ain't nothing around here. But let me tell you something, I grew wise that one day, man, I woke up and I realized, praise God for the blessing of the surroundings in which I live in. And now that I'm a Christian, amen, things kind of, it takes a little bit of time to trickle down to us, the things that we see on television that happen in the cities, but eventually it does. But I praise God that our kids are kind of protected here. And now that I have a family and have them with me, and what a beautiful thing it is to be a dad, amen, to be a husband, for God. God to say, you know what? I'm going to teach you the traits and the attributes of me by giving you a family, by giving you a wife to love, a love, amen, that He demonstrates in His Word toward His church, amen. And what a beautiful picture, amen, that the church is, and what He how He teaches us that love through marriage and having a spouse and having children, amen. I thank God for the many blessings, and I thank God for the Bible. Well, I thank God for Duffield, Virginia, amen. I thank God for this area. And I thought about this passage of Scripture. And if I get too loud, you all could just tell me to shush. But I tell you, it's like Jeremiah said, that the word of the Lord is like it's a fire in my bones, amen. I can't help but let it out, amen. I can't help but scream to the rooftops. I'm saved, amen. Amen. The Bible tells me that if I would be ashamed of Him, He'll be ashamed of me to His Father one day. So I'm here to tell you, while I can, while I have air in my lungs, I'm going to scream it to the rooftops. I'm saved by the grace of God, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ shed on Calvary. So I thank God for that today. But if you have your Bibles, and I hope that you would, be over. My key verse is going to be in 1 Corinthians in chapter 1 and verse 9. But I'm going to be kind of here and there. I woke up 5 o'clock this morning and it was, I don't know about you, but sometimes I lay in bed and I was thinking about the message this morning. I said, Lord, I just pray that You would just give me some things in it. And He did. He gave me, and He spoke to me like this. I just simply reached over and opened my Bible app on my phone. And in the daily devotion was exactly, man, how He spoke to me. And kind of, so He spoke to me in the daily verse of the day. So we would be over, we'll be over in 1 Corinthians to start out, but I'm going to bounce back between Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 4. So if you could stand in the reverence of the reverence of God's Word. I'm going to read one verse to start out with. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9, God is faithful, by whom ye were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. You can be seated. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, God, just come to You today. Just want to ask You, Father God, that You would just pour down Your Spirit upon this place. I know, Father God, in past, Lord, in the history of things, Lord, as I read in Your Word, Lord, the power of prayer, I ask You, Father God, and I depend upon that, Father God. I trust in that this morning, that You would bless each and every person here. I pray, Lord, that You would help me, Father God, to keep everything in line, Father God, that You would help help me, Lord, to get the points out, Lord, that you was revealing to me today. I ask you, Lord, that this message would be an uplift, an edifying message to your church, Father God, of how beautiful it is. I ask you, Lord, that you would speak to the hearts of each and every person here. I pray that you would empty me of me, Father God, and fill me with your Spirit this morning. And most of all, I pray that if someone here don't know you, I pray today, Father God, would be the day, Lord, that you would speak to their heart. Put them under conviction, Lord, that they would come to the altar and give it to you and trust in you as for their saving grace and salvation. I ask you in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. So there we read the simple passage of Scripture, and I read that, and it just stuck out to me. I was actually at school one day, and I was reading over in Corinthians, and I seen that God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And I'll go a step further, and I'll say my Lord, because it's personal to me, amen. I'll never forget the time in which I asked the Lord to come into my life and save my soul, amen. Cover me in the blood, amen, that one day when I stand before God the Father, amen, the Jesus Christ, that it was already that propitiation for my sins, amen. And in his eyes I am righteous, not because of me, but because of his Son. And I thank God, amen, that I was covered in that blood. But to title my message today, if I had to title it, I would title it "The Community of the Fellowship." Amen. When you are born, amen, when you are called, amen, you are called into a fellowship. What is that, amen? That is a beautiful thing. That is the church. That is a company. That is a companionship. That is all these things, amen. But I begin to think about of what it meant and what a community was and what a community of the fellowship of the church had meant to me. And first and foremost, in order to understand a community and the fellowship of God, you had to first be called by God. The Bible says over in the book of Matthew, I believe it's over in Matthew 22 and 14, he gives a parable of a wedding. And he tells of how people were invited to this wedding, and they went out into the highways and the byways, and they compelled people to come in. And we know the story of that, and I won't get too much into it, but the Bible says in 22 and verse 14 that many are called, but few are chosen. What does that mean? Well, it simply means this. Amen. Each and every time that you sit under the preaching of the Word of God, and each and every time that you have been taught something about God and salvation and the belief of Jesus Christ and faith in Him alone, amen, and you've got a decision to make. When the Holy Spirit comes your way and starts to prick your heart and reveals this truth to you, you have a decision to make. And it's on you. It's not on my papa who was a preacher. It's not on my dad who went to church and brought me up in church and preached the points in his life. Amen. It's not up to my mommy. It's you. It's a personal choice that you have to make. Once you make that, amen, once that call comes your way, once the Holy Spirit comes by your way and starts to prick your heart and reveal to you truth that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, amen, He saves your soul. And now after He saves your soul, you are then chosen. Amen. What does the Bible say? A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, amen. You have been adopted, amen, as a child of God. You have changed the position. Your position that you was lost and undone, amen. You have now moved over, amen, to the side, into the community of God, the fellowship of God. But I thought about being called by God. How are we called by God? We read over, and there's several passages of Scripture. You don't have to turn there, but if you would, it's just a few pages back. Go to Acts chapter 2. We'll go through this, try to step by step. And the Lord, I'll be honest with you, and you deacons and teachers and preachers in here, if you've ever done the work of the Lord and you've prayed about messages and sermons and teachings, sometimes He just bombards you with stuff, don't He? The Spirit is just speaking everything to you at once, and I'm like,
Lord, I appreciate all this stuff you're giving me. God, help me to remember it. Help me to be able to organize this in my mind.
Listen, I'm young, but my mind is feeble at times. I'm just going to tell you. I've started taking vitamins to help my mind, help me to remember better. But over in Acts, in chapter 2, verse 14, the Bible says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all, and ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it but the third hour of the day. But this in which was spoken by the prophet Joel." Now, take a back story. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. They're speaking in tongues here. This is the day of Pentecost. So they're speaking in tongues as far as the... And tongues, the way I understand it, and I'm not going to push things down people's throat, but tongues is would be that everybody heard it in their own language. So however they were speaking here, everybody that was from different areas and communities and different countries, they heard things in their own language, amen. And that's just how great God is, and only God can do that. And I don't see anything about jibber-jabber there. I hear that they speak in their language that they understand. And the Bible says, and it shall, over in verse 21, chapter 2, 21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So here you have Peter basically preaching to people. He is proclaiming the gospel. That is what I see in the passages of Scripture that I just read. There is a proclaiming, so to speak. So when we're called by God, we are called... How are we begotten? We're begotten by the Word of God, are we not? Amen. I will never forget that the night of 2011 and September the 4th, I remember going to church that night, and I heard the gospel message preached. Amen. It was a little rough. Some people don't want to hear about hell and all these things, but I'm here to tell you it's real. The preacher that night preached on hell, and he preached about, do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt you're lost or you're saved? Are you going to heaven or are you going to hell? Do you know? And I sat there within myself, and I gave you my testimony. You know this, but I sat and reasoned with my, tried to reason with myself and say, tried to put my faith and confidence in a prayer that I prayed, that I trusted in. But I wasn't, but here's the thing, amen. The proclamation that was made by the preacher that night of the gospel, amen. I realized when the Holy Spirit came down upon that church that night that I was lost and I was undone. Amen. I needed a Savior. And amen, I gave my life to Him. Amen. And that's how it happened to me. It happened because there was a proclamation of the gospel. And after that proclamation came, and I'll tell you later, preachers, they deliver a message, don't they? After they deliver a message, then guess what happens? A decision has got to be made. A decision has got to be made on how the Word of God, amen, it's not going to return unto the preacher, unto God void, amen. When he sends that message out from God, amen, there's got to be a decision made. You either accept or you reject. There's no in between. You either accept or reject it. That night, praise God, I decided that I was going to accept that proclamation of the gospel. I decided, amen, that the message that was delivered that night, and I feel like this is as personal to me, amen, as me standing up here right now, but I remember running into the pastor that preached that message that night, and I went up to him in Walmart, and I said, "Did you know that I was lost? Did you know that? Because I felt like you were preaching to just me, a church that was filled with people. But I felt like, amen, that all eyes was on me, and I'm not trying to be selfish. I'm just trying to be personal. Amen. I just felt like everything was on me. It was my decision to make that night. That message was delivered, praise God. And he proclaimed the gospel beautifully in a way that I understood it. I was the one that over in the book of Jude, and I was dragged from hell, amen, dragged from the fire. Because, amen, that's what it took for me to realize that I was lost and I was undone. But after I gave my life to Christ, I made a preparation, praise God. I prepared. Down here we hear about
all these disasters coming our way. Good thing I didn't move to Florida, because then I'd have to deal with the hurricanes. Well, then you got to prepare for a hurricane, for a storm. I don't have to prepare much around here for crazy storms. I know we had one recently here, and that only happens once in a blue moon, but I prepared that day. I prepared that night, I should say. I prepared to meet my Maker. I prepared, amen, I made preparation by accepting Jesus into my heart and soul and realizing that I couldn't do it on my own, that it was only by the grace of God, only by the blood stains covering my soul, that I would be able to have peace with God the Father. And I made it right that day. And that's how you make it right. If you don't know God, that's how you make it right. Well, what do I need to do? Amen. You notice when people hear about these big snowstorms and they do this and they do that, amen, they prepare, don't they? And they get a little scared, don't they? They get a little scared. I mean, they go out and buy 5 loaves of bread for a storm that's only going to last a week. I've got a family of 4, and we honestly, we buy 2 loaves of bread, it's already molded by a week's time. They get scared. And then I thought about, and this is what I wanted to get to, the community. I wanted to really focus on the community aspect of this message and what it means. And it means so much to me because, boy, I know the person I used to be. You know, my number one prayer as a preacher, you know the difference between a preacher that I want to listen to and a preacher I don't want to listen to? I don't want to listen to a preacher stand in the pulpit and act like he's the standard. I don't want to hear a prideful preacher preach me a message about how good he does everything. And everybody, he's going to heaven and everybody else is going to hell, so to speak. But I want to hear a genuine man preach the Word of God. And my prayer is this: Lord, help me to just be a genuine man. Help me to be real. Because I have found over the years of my life of where I've started to really grow in church, I've sat under great pastors that are just genuine people that preach the Word of God, amen. And when they have flaws, they let it out, amen. And they're honest with their congregation, amen, that they're not the standard, but Jesus is the standard, amen. And if you want true deliverance, amen, from sin, and if you want true deliverance from problems in your life, amen, it don't come from the pastor, but it comes straight from God. And that's how He gives it. That's how He presents it. But I remember who I used to be. And praise God, boy, I tell you, I met a guy that got on me. And I believe it was straight from the Lord. I believe he was sent straight from the Lord Himself to teach me that I needed to be in church on a consistent basis. And he taught me the importance of it. And as I started to go to church and get my family in church, I could just... Now, don't get me wrong. Things was not a bed of roses. The enemy will come and attack in every which way that he can. He will just because you're a Christian does not mean that you are immune to him trying to destroy your family. Why will he try to destroy it? Look at our nation rise as we speak. You know, most of the problems that are going on in our country with this transgenderism and this homosexuality and all these things, because there's a breakdown in the family. The devil has been, he's been slick, he's been subtle, exactly how Genesis describes him as. He is the most subtle creature in the garden, amen, and he's still the most subtle creature. Don't ever underestimate the enemy. You're not going to be able to fight the enemy on your own. The only way that you overcome the enemy is by the power of God, amen, that is resting upon you, amen. It ain't nothing about you except for your obedience to God, amen, and your faith in God. As I told the brother there, that It's impossible to please God without faith. What is the opposite of that? To trust in God, amen. Have faith in Him, amen. And He will see you through the battles.
But I grew so much in church. My family grew in church, and I thank God for that. And I pray at the times in which we live that they would continue strong in the Lord. I try as a dad, and my wife tries as a mother, to teach her kids how important it is to be in the house of God, how important it is to seek ye first the kingdom of God, and how we should have that pyramid, and everything should be pointed toward the top, and that should be God first, amen, all else after. But I thought about that community, and I thought about this morning as I sit, and I thought in the bed about community. We live in a tight-knit community here, don't we? We all have a lot of common morals.
I'm an oddball. A lot of people support Tennessee Vols. I'm a West Virginia fan.
But we support common teams. We've got common interests. And in a tight-knit community, people proclaim certain interests, as we talked about. They commune with one another, don't they? They have companionship. They have people within that community that they can trust and count on. When times get hard, and you know, it's not as much as it was back in the day, but I know in communities this day and age, and especially me growing up as a kid, I remember living in communities that if you needed something, amen, all you had to go was down the road a little piece, and there would be your neighbor to help you out. That's just the type of community and the type of people in which we have around us, and I thank God for that.
But we have companionship, a lot like church. This is our community. This is the people that we commune with. We communicate with. We even commune by the ceremonial practices of doing communion in church, which is a beautiful thing.
But we all have common interests. We all cheer for the same team. When fall rolls around, every one of us in here probably going to, I don't know if there's any Gate City people in here, but we're probably going to be all rooting for the Rockhope War Eagles football team. It's common for us, amen. But it's as common as it is for those things. In church and within the community of our church, we commune together. We have common morals. And what is that? Amen. It's Jesus that twines it all together. Amen. He bounds us all together. Binds us.
Communities stick close together when issues arise. There's power in numbers. Power in numbers. When problems arise, amen. I used to hear some of the stories that was told at one of my old churches. Now, I don't know. This was Lee County. So I remember them saying things like, if a man wouldn't work and feed his family, there'd be a bunch of guys in the community that'd go and kind of give him a thrashing. But there's power in numbers, ain't there?
I'm not going to tell you that I'm concerned with the numbers. I would love to see the church just filled, spewing out to the streets to give the testimony of Jesus Christ, amen, to the world, that they might say, you know what, something is going on in that place. I want to know what's going on, and them having an urgency to get into the house of God and hear the hope message preached to them, that they might come to that knowledge of the saving grace and be saved. But we have power in the community of fellowship. Go over to Acts in chapter 4. And the word says in verse 1, and as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put in hold unto them the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed. The number of the men was about 5,000. Over in chapter 2 and verse 41, the Bible says that they gladly received his word, were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. If you don't know by now, there's power in the Spirit. There is power that comes along in the Spirit of God, amen. We've been studying there about the Great Awakening and the Reformation days there, and how things come about. And one of the messages that was preached that we've been studying was Jonathan Edwards' Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. If you haven't ever heard that, I would recommend you to read that sermon. That's a really good read. And when that message was presented, I think they said that there was about 500 people that came to the Lord Jesus through that sermon right there after it was preached. And it went down as one of the greatest messages to ever be preached. But I'd say, oh, I have to say this, there's power in prayer. There's power in prayer. As Jonathan Edwards had prepared for that message, I think that he, as the legend, the history goes on him, was before he preached that message, he laid on his belly for 3 days and just cried out to God that there would be a movement, amen, upon that message in which God had gave him. That there would be a movement in the church, that people would come to the knowledge, amen, that they need Christ in their life. And he sought after God. There was power in that prayer. Why? Because he was obedient, amen. He dropped his face down. And sometimes, you ever think about, you see the great movements, you see the great awakening there, and you hear about revivals, and you hear about 3,000 and 5,000 people getting saved there in the book of Acts. And you ever wonder, amen, if we would just come together, amen, as a tight-knit community like it ought to be, amen, and we just come to church and we just say, you know what, tonight I'm just going to pray to God, amen, that God would have a movement in this land, that God, amen, would come by our way and move, amen, that we would pray for the power of the Spirit, amen, because we know that when we read in the book, amen, the great book, amen, the Bible, amen, we know that there's power in the Spirit of God, amen. And if we could just come together as a church, and I'm not saying just this church, I'm saying all churches, amen. I'm saying my home church, and I'm saying this church, I'm saying the church in California, that we would come together as a community of the fellowship, amen, the core members of the church, bow our faces down at the altar, amen, cry out to Almighty God and say, God, heal our land, save us, Lord, we repent of our sin, amen, Lord, give us, amen, the opportunity, the unction, amen, to go out in this world to be bold, amen, and stand against this hogwash in which our children are taught each and every day, amen, that we would be the one, amen, and that we would stand in the gap, amen, and be, amen, that bridge. And believe it. And believe what we preach, amen. Believe what we sing. Believe what we teach. But most of all, believe, amen, the power of prayer. If he did it, I don't know about you, but God, amen, I know that the Bible tells me that he was the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. That same God, amen, that worked through his disciples, that worked through men like Jonathan Edwards, George Whitefield, that worked through people like Billy Graham. That is the same God in which we serve. Oh, how we forget at times, amen, who we serve and how big he is. Woe is me. I forget it so much. But praise God, amen, for mercy. The Bible says, and one little token that stood out to me was a nugget. Chapter 4, verse 11, the Bible says, "This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner." Oh, and how I read that message, or that passage of Scripture, and I thought about how Jesus himself said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And I thought about the times in which we live. I thought about how the numbers in church are dwindling down. I thought about the falling away in which we have in our country now of people that was brought up in church, and now they've turned away from the things of God, and they've went their own way. And I'm going to tell you, amen, if you're here and you're battling with it, I promise you the world is going to lead you to destruction. You need God. If you are in here and you are questioning whether or not, amen, that the things that are going on and the things that the Lord is dealing with you, you need Him, amen. Because I promise you, all these things, amen, that we see, and I can't remember, I told them Wednesday night in our youth, as we were teaching the youth there, I said, look around you. Everything you see will be burned up one day. It'll all be gone. Amen. Every bit of this, amen. How can we escape that? And that is a storm that I feel like nobody this day and age wants to take serious. They'll take all these hurricanes and all these tornado storms and all these winter storms that we have, and they prepare. But for some reason, people don't want to prepare for the great storm that is coming. Amen. That is the storm, amen, that one of these days you're either going to be eternal in heaven or you're going to be eternity in hell. There's no in between. So I would beg you, I would compel you, if the Lord is speaking to your heart, amen, give it to Him, amen. Say, Lord, I surrender my life to You. Allow You, Father God, to be my Lord and my Savior. And Lord, I'm sorry, amen, for walking in this world without You. But the gates of hell shall not prevail. Even though we have things going on in this world, the church is still standing. The church is still standing. And I'm going to tell you, there's going to come a day, maybe in not so much, you know, not in the too distant future, but you never know. Lord will rapture His church up, we'll be out of this world. Then you're going to be left with a world where the Spirit of God is no longer. Then you'll be in a world where evil will reign and have its way for a time. But ain't you glad that God is still in control? He's still in control. Nothing surprises Him. Nothing shocks Him. Go over back to chapter 2, verse 47. And the Bible says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." The power of praise. The power of praise. Isn't He worthy this morning? Isn't He worthy if He saved your soul, amen, your wretched soul, amen? Isn't He worthy? Isn't He worthy to just lift your hand and say, "Thank you, God. Thank you, God." Isn't He worthy? Some of the testimonies in which I heard grown police officers say over there at that chaplain service broke my heart. And they got real. That's what I liked about it. That's what was so personal. And to be honest with you, I felt like I laid out of work all week to go to church, and it was a blessing to me. Of course, I know my major's in here. Don't let him. I hope he didn't hear that. But what a blessing it was! But to be able to hear grown men just cry out and some of the traumatic experiences they've had, and how God came by and delivered them because they decided, amen, at a point in time in their life that they would put their trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Things like overcoming alcoholism. One woman, she wasn't even a police officer, but she had admitted to how she had planned out a murder and then a suicide.
of some of our own family members. You say, oh, but let me tell you something. If you've ever hated somebody in your life, you've committed murder in your heart. That's what the Bible teaches us. And I heard this man, the guy that texted me this morning, his testimony of how he had a stroke and how it brought him closer to the Lord, and he was paralyzed in his arm, and he's a preacher, and he does the ministry of music in his church, and he plays the piano, and he talked about how he was able to get his speech back after he had the stroke that took his speech, but after he got his speech back, and he talked about how he went up to the piano, hadn't had full movement back in his right hand, but he had just enough to get up there and make a noise. He said, it may not sound good, and the congregation probably thought it didn't sound good. I wasn't playing to them. I was playing to Jesus Christ, amen. I was playing to Him, and I was wanting the enemy to know that he didn't win. How else are we going to be able to build our faith if we don't surround ourselves, amen, commune with our community of our church and listen to the way that God still delivers today? There's power in praise, and he just sat up there and he just praised God. What a blessing it was. What a blessing it was. I'm almost done. Y'all just sit tight. Now, this is the point in time that I tell you that was my message to the church. There was a lot of division in the church of Corinth, and Paul was addressing that. We'll go back to the 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I know this has been a topical message. You'd be able to flip here and there, but when the Lord gave it to me, listen, I'm going to preach what the Lord gives me. It's beautiful. I love him. He's so good to me, and I've prayed all week about what I should preach, and I just didn't feel like I had anything. In the middle of the week, I thought I did, and then realized I didn't, and he just kind of bombarded me this morning, and it was awesome. It was awesome, and I told him, I said, Lord, if you give me a message, you'll get the praise. He gets the praise because it's all him. But the Bible says that we are confirmed. There in verse 6, the Bible says, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. And he says in verse 8, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. That right there is enough, amen, to say, praise you in sweet and precious name, Jesus. Saving my soul that one day, because of not what I did, for my righteousness is as filthy rags, the Bible tells me, amen. But not because of my filthy rags, but because of what you did, Lord Jesus, on the cross of Calvary, when you stretched out your arms, amen. At any point, he could have came down from there because he was God. But he didn't, amen. He laid down his life, amen, for a friend, amen, for you and for me, amen. That we could experience, amen, to stand before God Almighty, God the Father, and be blameless because of what He did. Because of our belief and our faith in Jesus Christ. And I'll end with my message to the church on this. Exactly where it started. God is faithful, by whom ye were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You see what He gave us there? He gave us a promise. Because by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, there was a calling made. You were chosen if you accepted that calling and you accepted Jesus in your heart and soul and in your life. Gave you a community, and He gave you a promise of being confirmed. You can stand before God Almighty one day and you don't have to worry. You can know that you know that you know. Amen. Listen, I serve a God, amen, that this is me, but this is what I believe. I believe, amen, that I thank God that I don't have to try to hold myself together. Thank God that I don't have to try to keep everything intact and do this and do that, amen, to be blameless before God. But that only thing that I've got to do, amen, is just trust what Jesus Christ did. And what, amen, and at the end of the day, He'll confirm you. As long as you're saved. Now that was my message to the church. That was my message to the community. And then I started thinking about the lost man. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm just going to read something to you. Bible says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, or adulterous, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 18. We are instructed, as Paul instructs the church of Corinth continually, as he's dealing with, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion have light with darkness?" Verse 16, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be my and will be a father unto you, and ye be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty." That's enough right there to say, I need to stay away. I need to stay away from the things, amen. Because what? To be unequally yoked, amen, with the world is not going to do anything but bring you misery. Even when you're in church and you're a Christian and you stray away from the fellowship and you get away and you start building, this is what I always like to say, that especially when you leave the fellowship from God, amen, and you start walking away, you get far from God, you're building you're putting those cinder blocks and those walls, that you're starting to build that wall between you and God, and you start to lose your joy, because as David said in the book of Psalms, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Amen. There is a joy that you can lose as a Christian, amen, when you start to walk away from the things of God and you start to unequally yoke yourself. And let me tell you something, if you're here today and you're a Christian and you've unequally yoked yourself up with the world, I promise you it will bring destruction to your life. Here in this world, you may lose everything you got. And men in this day and age, and they talked about it over at school, but they taught, one man's testimony was that he was, I guess, I don't know that he was saved at this point in life, but he had ran off his wife and got another woman pregnant, and it just created a mess in his life. And I promise you, there is consequences for sin. Amen. David understood that. Amen. As David was very sorry and repented for his sin with Bathsheba, it still costed him that the child, amen, that he bore in sin and iniquity with Bathsheba. So the Bible tells us to stay away. And you know, this is something that kind of comical, I guess, but anything the media tells you is right, do the opposite. That's what I say. And that's what I see when I watch the news. Whatever they're saying, I'm going to do the complete opposite. Whatever person they're against, I'm going to be for.
Because the world hates God. It hates the things of God. It hates people that stand up for truth. And let me tell you, if you don't know what to do, you just do the opposite of what this world says. When the world tells you, your friends tell you at school, go to college and sow your wild oats. Don't do it, because I promise you, the seed you sow, you're gonna reap that harvest one day. And sometimes when you reap corruption, amen. When you sow corruption, you're gonna reap corruption. It's not worth it. Sow to the things of the Spirit and not to the carnal self, not to the flesh. So with this, I'm gonna ask someone to come to the piano. We'll give a call, an opportunity for someone, anybody, to come to the altar and pray to God. So as I said before, the message has been preached. I believe that I've emptied myself of everything that God gave me today. But I'm telling you, I'm forgetful, so sometimes I've got in my car, why didn't I say that? I thought of something there and I was like, you know what? I'm going to write it down. I'm going to go on a scavenger hunt and find me an ink pen. I'm going to write this down. So that's what I did. And thank the sister for letting me have that pen wherever she's at. But the message has been preached. I've given you everything that the Lord has laid on my heart. Truthfully, that's what He laid on my heart today. So a decision needs to be made. And as he plays the piano there, I'd ask you, and I'm not sure why nobody wants to come to the altar anymore. Preaching so many churches and it's just dead. Just because you come to the altar don't mean you're lost. We can come to the altar and say, God, I just want to lift my lost cousin up. I want to lift my lost grandmother up. Lord, I just pray that you would get a hold of them. Send somebody their way that would share them and proclaim the gospel message of you. So as he plays, I'm going to leave you with this last thought. There are so many communities that I see. Now, we went to Jonesboro and ate at the kitchen in Grace Meadows. Y'all ever been there? They have some really nice houses up there. Really nice communities. I can't afford them. There's communities that we can't afford to live in, can we? For the rich and famous, they say. But this community that I speak of today, you know how much it costs you? Nothing. To be in the community of the fellowship of God, amen, through Jesus Christ, the payment was already made. It was paid for you. How would you like for someone to just give you a big mansion down here in the nicest community you've ever laid eyes upon? That's what Christ did for you when He went to the cross of Calvary. Paid it in full. Free of charge. You don't have to worry. You are good enough. You're good enough for this community. All you got to do is turn from your way and accept His way. God made a provision for us which we was inadequate of making ourselves. So with that, I'll leave you with that. That was my message. I thank each and every one of you. And if anyone feels a tug at their heart, come to the altar and pray. I command you to just come. Give it to the Lord.
Thank you, Brother Dustin. Good to see you again. And good message, a challenging message, and a true message. Not his opinion, but what God says. And we appreciate you coming and sharing with us and your family. Let's pray and be dismissed. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for salvation. We thank you for your commitment to the cross. Not only commitment, but you followed through and you completed it. And you said, and you're hanging on the cross, it is finished. You did all that needed to be done for us to have salvation. And we just thank you for it. We thank you for our church family. We ask you to be with our pastor as they travel. Others, we ask you to be with Sister Nancy Roten and her loss of a husband. And 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, a loss of a son. And Father, we need to lift her up and praise her and contact her and love on her. And we know you do. And we thank you for it. We thank you for this day and giving us time together. We ask each blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.